Okay, so we looked at Acts and we went through it all and we saw how important it was for believers to come together in prayer. How when they are like-minded, praying together with believing about the same things, that great things happen for them. And the same things can happen for us when we are like-minded, of one accord in our hearts, according to God's word, praying for the things of God. And then we looked at David and we looked at his heart and his prayer and how he had such great humility and great heart for God, and how he pointed out that, all the big problems and difficulties he had, they were nothing but little things to God to take care of. And so, we saw from David how when you go before God honestly with humility, God listens and answers. And we are to go to him with a thankful heart. So I thought we'd start off tonight in Psalm 34, and it's a psalm of David, and it's after he was before Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and he acted like he was crazy. And he got away. Actually, they kicked him out. And it says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And the word bless here means to salute or wish well or to praise or extol. And it says, at all times, at all times. And then it says, his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Now, those two phrases are really saying the same thing two different ways to emphasize it, right? It's a figure of speech of repetition. And then he goes on, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And his boast was in the Lord. His boast was not in himself. It was not in his accomplishments or what he did or how he did it. He didn't go around telling everybody how he took down Goliath and bragged about it. His boast was in the Lord. Remember when he went before Saul and he talked about how he killed the bear and the lion, and he gave a description. He said, I took the bear by the beard and I killed him. He said, I'm going to go up Goliath and God will deliver me just like he delivered me from the bear and the lion. He gave credit to God. Then it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And the word magnify means to glorify or make great. And this happens to be in the imperative. It's like a command. We are to magnify the Lord. He says, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And again, that's saying the same thing in two different ways, isn't it? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So this is a great way to overcome fear, isn't it? He sought the Lord. When we seek the Lord, he hears us. Or I think in the NIV it says he answered. But he heard him. He answered him. He heard him. He answered him. He sought the Lord. When we pray, what are we doing?
Talking to God.
Yeah, aren't we seeking God when we talk to him, when we pray? And he delivered me from all my fears. That's kind of cool because usually we have one fear that's at the top of the list, when we're dealing with something, right? But we usually get more than one at different times. We'll have several things maybe that come at us. Well, it says here that God delivered him from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked unto him, speaking about people. They looked unto him and were lightened, or they were radiant. You know, when we look at God, we become radiant. It changes our countenance, our appearance, the way we are. And their faces were not ashamed. Then David speaks of himself. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble, all his troubles. You know, this poor man, you know, and from God's point of view, we're all poor, right? The riches we have are from God. They belong to God. But in respect to God or in comparison to God, we're poor. David again shows his humility and his, you know, how he looked to God and how he understood his relationship with God. He said, this poor man cried. You know, he was praying to God. He was calling to God. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, that have great respect or are in awe of God. And the angel of the Lord surrounds you with his protection and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him, that again have respect or in awe, that have great reverence for God. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You know, the lions are kind of like, in their environment, the top of the food chain, right? They're the predators. They're the toughest, the top dogs. But they have lean years sometimes, or they can get sick, or they can get hurt. And if they do, they can't catch their prey, they are probably going to starve to death. They suffer hunger at times. But they that seek the Lord shall not want anything, or shall not want any good thing. If you hold your place there and go to 1 John chapter 5, it talks about seeking the Lord. And again, one of the ways that we seek the Lord is through prayer, right? We seek to speak to him, to commune with him, to have a relationship with him, to have conversation with him. In chapter 5 of 1 John 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Go to Psalm 119. And verse 2. It says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That's a great verse, isn't it?
Yes.
That is really a great verse. Let's read it again. Blessed, and the word blessed again is happy or very happy are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him, referring to God, with the whole heart, with everything you have, with your whole heart. It's a great thing. And then let's go to Ezra chapter 8. Of course, everybody knows Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And it's talking about, you know, the things that we require in our physical life. But let's go to Ezra chapter 8. This is really a cool section. And this is where Ezra is leading the remnant of Jews or Israelites, Judeans and Benjaminites, that's a tough one, Benjaminites, back to Jerusalem. And Ezra had gone to the king, and he asked if he could go back, and he allowed him to go back. In verse 21, it says, that, and they're on the road, and he says, then I proclaimed the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. So they were doing what? They stopped there to take time to pray and petition God together. Verse 22. This is great. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because the king had offered to send a guard to go along with them and protect them. And Ezra said, I was ashamed to require the king. I was ashamed to, you know, take up the offer, to ask for it. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. Wow, isn't that great? You know, the hand of God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and we besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Meaning what? He answered. He received our request. How cool, you know? The power of prayer together. Ezra was quite a guy. So let's go back to Psalm 34. So again, the young lions do lack and suffer, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And we just saw Ezra said, you know, God will, when you seek him, God will not hold back any good thing. Verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear or the reverence of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. That might sound familiar. It's quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, but in chapter 3 of Peter, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Right? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Again, all their troubles, not some troubles, but all troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, if you trust in God, you're going to do okay. Desolate is not a good thing. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. Now, there is a parallel record to this in 1 Kings, chapter 8, but I decided to read it from Chronicles for no good reason. They're pretty similar. But you could go and read that and compare them. There's a few things that are, you know, they fill in a little bit. But this is at the time of the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, and it's Solomon addressing the people. And it must have been a heck of a great day. So we'll start out. Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built an house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. So they were in the temple, and I don't know that the temple was, according to what I've read, it wasn't that big. You know, it wasn't like St. Peter's in Rome or maybe even St. Patrick's in New York. It wasn't really big, but it had... He stood in front of the altar, and there was an altar, and then behind that was the Holy of Holies. And then in front was the court of men, and behind that the courtyard of women, and then there was a larger courtyard, and it was kind of outdoors. It was open air. So you could imagine how large the crowd would be if all Israel were there for this dedication. And I was reading some book or something, and they said, you know, probably people were, the crowd was, you know, as far as the eye could see. A figure of speech, I'm sure, but it was pretty crowded. And then he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all thy tribes of Israel to build an house, in that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. God commended him that it was in David's heart to do this. Remember, we read about that last time when he talked to Nathan, and Nathan said, okay, do what's in your heart. And then, you know, later on, of course, he didn't get to do it. But it was a good thing that he had it in his heart. Verse 9, notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, shall build the house for my name. So he's saying, you know, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be your biological son. He's going to come from your loins, and he's going to build the house for me. The Lord, therefore, hath performed this word he hath spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So what's he saying? The prophecy came true, right? God prophesied of this. He told David it would happen in the future, before he even had this son, and it came to pass. And in it I have put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. So they made this brass platform, and 5 cubits is about 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet, which comes out to be about 56 square feet in area, and about 4.5 feet high. So it would raise him up, you know, kind of above the crowd so they could see him. And it says he kneeled down in front of him and spread his hands towards heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel. And now he's praying to God out loud in front of the people. There is no God like thee in heaven nor in earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Isn't that great? He keeps covenant and shows mercy unto those that walk before him with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him and spakest with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. You know, there's so many things in this little thing, but you know, that's condescensio, right? God doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't have a hand. But that's how he describes it. Now, therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, thy father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. So, really great. And I want to stop here for a second. It said in verse 14, O Lord God of Israel. Solomon addresses God in this prayer four different ways, eight times. So he addresses him, O Lord God of Israel, in verses 14, 16, and 17. O Lord my God, in verse 19. My God, in verse 40. And O Lord God, in verses 41 and 42. I don't know if there's any significance to that, but he covers all the bases. Thou which hast kept with thy servant, my father, that which thou hast promised him and spakest with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant. Some texts read, let thy word, I beseech thee, which thou hast spoken. But anyway, but will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. So here again, he shows humility and he points out, you know, I built this house for you to, your name could be there, but nothing can contain God. Not the heaven or the heaven of heavens. God's bigger than it all. Pretty great when you think about it. And he understood that. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. For, O Lord my God, to hearken unto thy cry and prayer which thy servants prayeth before thee. So he's asking God, you know, listen to our prayers. That thine eyes may be open upon this house, day and night, upon this place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there. To hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. You go throughout the Old Testament and it talks about how when people would pray, they would face Jerusalem. They would face the direction of where the temple was. David did that. You know, it says that he had the habit of every day of sitting before his window facing Jerusalem and praying. So, hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. He's doing a couple of things here. He's praised God in his prayer. He's acknowledged the greatness of God. He's asked some petitions, and he's making intercession for Israel. So he's doing all those things in this prayer. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath comes before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, and recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. That just means, you know, you're a righteous and a just judge, and you do what you said you're going to do. And we will take the consequences for our actions. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the Lamb which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. And again, that's what? Intercession. And he knew, according to what Moses wrote and other people, that, you know, they would turn away from God a few times and have some difficulties and maybe get taken captive. And so he's praying for this ahead of time. He's getting ahead of the curve, as we would say. And if thy people Israel be put to the world. Okay, I read that. Verse 26, and when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. Remember Elijah, right? Later on, or in 1 Kings, I guess, or 2 Kings, Elijah, when he has to confront Ahab and he prays and it doesn't rain for 3 years, and then he prays again and it rains. So, if there be dearth in the land, I hate when there's dearth. If there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication whosoever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house. So again, you know, a great answer to all these difficulties, all these situations, all that happened to people is prayer. Then hear thou from heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. And we know that's a great verse, isn't it? You know, God knows our hearts. He knows them. That they may fear thee, have great reverence, respect, to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great namesake, in thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from the dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee as doth the people of Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. So he's even praying for the unbelievers, the strangers, the Gentiles. And if they come and want to worship in the temple and call to God and ask of God, he's saying you should answer them too, God, because it just makes your name greater to all the people and they recognize it. It's kind of great, isn't it? Verse 34, if the people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, again, you know, they're going to pray towards the city and towards the house, then hear thou from heaven their prayer and supplication and maintain their cause. But, you know, notice here it says, if they go out to war against enemies, that thou shalt send them. You know, when God tells them to make war. And if we go back and we think about the different times that Israel did stuff, when they listened to God and they went to war when he told them, they were victorious. When they did it on their own, what happened? They failed. They would get beat. Remember, he told them to go into the promised land and he would make them victorious when the spies came back. And they didn't go. They were afraid. And then after the fact, they said, oh, now we'll go. And they went, and then they got beat because God wasn't with them at that point because they didn't listen to him. Okay. Verse 36, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. Remember what it says in Romans 10:23, I think. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? It says, there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned and we have done amiss and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, the heavens, even from the dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. And we just read about Ezra, and that's exactly what was happening with Ezra, right? They had prayed, and they were going back to Jerusalem. They were coming back from captivity. You know, they had prayed, and they got freed, they got released. Verse 40, now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You know, and he's not just asking God to listen to his prayer, is he? But he's asking God, you know, listen to everybody's prayer that comes into this house, that, you know, has a heart for you, God, and needs help. Now, therefore, verse 41, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let the priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. What does that word mean there? Saints. In the Hebrew it reads, let thy men of grace rejoice in goodness. Isn't that great? O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember that the mercies of David, thy servant. Now when Solomon had made an end of the praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Means brightness. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Remember when Moses went up on the mount and he saw the glory of the Lord and he came down and he was so bright they couldn't look on him. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 20 and 2,000 oxen, and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. That's a lot of sacrifices.
It is.
That's a lot of blood. But you know what they did with those sacrifices? They had a feast. They ate. And they fed the people, and they had a celebration. Really cool. So, in this prayer, it's kind of cool. Solomon makes 22 requests. First is he keep with David the promises that were made to him. That was his first request to God. The second was, let your word be verified or steadfast. The third was, have respect for my prayer. You know, accept it. Hearken unto my cry and prayer. I could give you the verses for this if you want. Does it matter?
It'll be on tape.
Huh?
It's recorded.
Okay. Well, with David, keep his promises. Verse 16, let your word be verified or steadfast. 17, have respect of my prayer. 19, hearken to my cry and prayer. Verse 19, 5, let thy eyes be upon this house day and night. Verse 20, hearken unto the prayer toward this house. Verse 20, hearken unto the prayers and supplications of Israel and Solomon toward this house. Verse 21, hear from heaven your dwelling place, verse 21, and forgive, verse 21. Hear from the heavens and judge your servants justly, verse 23. Hear from heaven and forgive the sin of Israel, verse 25, and bring them back into the land of their fathers. Verse 12, when you are afflicted because of sin, when you afflict Israel, you know, when they sin, forgive them, verses 26 and 27, remove the affliction. That's, you know, when he talked about the dearth and the disease and all that stuff. 13 was, hear from heaven when a man prays in this house, verses 29 and 30. 14 is, hear the prayers of the strangers in this house, verses 32 and 33. 15 is, hear the prayers of your people at war, verses 34 and 35. And remember, it was when God sent them to war, not when they just went out to kill people or something or enrich themselves. 16, hear the prayers of your people when they turn back to you in captivity, verses 36 through 39. Verse 17, let your eyes be open and ears attend to the prayer in the temple. Arise unto your resting place, verse 41. Meaning, you know, come in and move into the house that we built for you. Let the priests be clothed with salvation, verse 41. Let your saints rejoice in goodness, verse 41. Turn your face away from, I don't know what that is, and remember the mercies of David, verse 42. Anyway.
It was, don't turn away your face.
Don't turn away your face from the anointed. So that would be him, the king. He was anointed. So it's a great prayer. You know, maybe not all of it reflects on us as Christians today, but think about today, we're the temple of God as the body of Christ. And when we pray together, we want God to be listening from heaven to our prayers and have respect for, which we know he does, you know, when we pray according to his will. But the heart of David and the heart of Solomon and how they went to God and how they, you know, they weren't afraid to ask him about anything. They weren't afraid to go to him and say, you know, God, we really need your help, and you're bigger than we are, and you're stronger than we are, and you're better than we are, and, you know. It's They're just really great. So next week, we're going to look at a couple of things. There's a prayer in Psalm by David. It's a prayer. And then we're going to look maybe at Daniel's prayer in chapter 9, where he prays for Israel to come back out of captivity from Babylon, and he beseeches God. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And just you see the heart of the man and how great he was and how he loved God, but he loved the people more than himself. You know, he prayed for the people. He didn't pray for himself. He prayed for the other people so that they could be free and liberated again. So that's what we'll do next week. So amen and amen. I'll pray and close. Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the great prayers in your word, that we can see these prayers and see how great these men were in their heart for you and their relationship with you. And then when we think about it, how we have even greater access. We have greater access to you than they ever did, because we can go to you face to face. We can go to the throne of grace with all boldness. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that made that access available. And how that when we pray in his name, we absolutely know that you're listening. And if it's according to your will, you will grant what we ask. And we just thank you, God, for just showing us the greatness of the power of prayer and how we can come together and be like-minded. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.